What's up, gamers? Welcome to Lost at Sea Gaming. I am Hulking Yoda, the captain of this ship, the SS Gamer. And on this episode of Captain's Quarters, I will be speaking to you guys about the newly revealed PS5 DualSense controller and my opinions of it. A couple of great games that I've been playing this past week in Doom Eternal and Resident Evil 3 Remake. Might even give you guys some of my best tips for surviving Raccoon City and the Nemesis in Resident Evil 3, and touch on my opinion on whether or not game length should determine the value of a game. So it's going to be a packed episode, so let's dive right in with this week's news catch of the week. So guys, as I said, as promised, it is the PS5 DualSense controller that I will be focusing my news topic discussion on this week. So I don't know about you guys, but I am super stoked for this next generation of consoles, hopefully still coming later this year with all this mess going on in the world right now. Maybe not the most important thing to worry about, but at the end of the day, still staying positive. Hopefully we have PS5, Xbox Series X, next gen to look forward to on the horizon. So we've seen a lot of stuff so far on the Xbox Series X. You know, Microsoft unveiled the console at the Game Awards. They've also given us a lot more details on the tech specs. Sony bounced back with some more tech specs. Well, guess what, guys? Sony so far has yet to release any kind of details on the controller, on the console itself, and the design. Well, guess what? Finally, this past week, they unveiled and pulled back the curtain on the new controller for the PlayStation 5. Now, for those of you that have been following PlayStation for quite a few years now, you'll know, outside of the launch of the PlayStation 3, which came with a 6-axis controller, the DualShock has pretty much always been the name of the PlayStation controller. So it was very, in a kind of a cool way for me, to see that, surprisingly, to see that Sony decided to change the name for this PlayStation controller to the DualSense instead of the DualShock. Now, obviously, it gets its name from the haptic feedback that they're going for and the immersion that they keep talking about with their console that they're shooting for. So what is the big deal about this controller? Well, let's just talk about the design first. So the first thing that really stood out to me, guys, was the two-tone color scheme and no normal colors for the face button structure. So you think about it, the X, the O, the circle, the square, they always have those specific neon kind of colors that you associate with those face buttons. Well, on this controller that's been unveiled so far, they are clear. Every face button is just kind of clear. So honestly, it looks kind of cool, but I know a lot of people I've seen online have been pretty not happy with it. They want that classic Sony PlayStation look to the design of the face buttons. I get it, but I'm kind of cool with it. The two-tone color scheme is also different. Typically, you get your standard black controller because normally most consoles that launch, except for the 360, the Wii, most of them are usually black consoles. And PlayStation has been no different. Since the PlayStation 2, every console has been black. Therefore, a black controller comes packaged with it. Well, this time we get a two-tone controller in that it's black and kind of a robot white. Now, a big thing that's indicative to me of the actual console design itself here is the color scheme. The fact that it is two-tone. To me, that tells me the console will more than likely also be two-tone. So I'm down with it. Honestly, I kind of like it. And as I'm sure a lot of you listeners have seen already online, I mean, immediately the community went nuts with all kinds of different variations and designs utilizing the two-tone scheme. And I got to tell you, I mean, there were some really, really cool ones that I just absolutely loved. Some of the ones themed around some PlayStation exclusive games like Horizon, The Last of Us, Spider-Man, God of War. Then there were some funny ones, you know, the Mario overalls come to mind and a few other things. But bottom line is, lots of promise with this. I really hope Sony latches onto that and sees the passion behind the community and the desire for those kinds of designs and to kind of have fun with it. Obviously, at launch, I'm sure they're probably just going to focus on, you know, hey, this is our controller. Here's our basic black and white two-tone color scheme. I get it from a business standpoint at launch. So a couple of other things that we have noticed now that we can see and that Sony has shed the light on about the controller. So the adaptive shoulder button triggers with haptic feedback. We can kind of get a look at those now. Haptic feedback, for those of you that are not aware of what that is, basically you can tell the difference in, say, when you're hitting a wall in a racing game, the vibration and the triggers will be different, a different vibration than, say, if you're getting tackled by somebody in Madden. They have a different force feedback within them. So very, very cool. Again, trying to add to that immersion and differentiate the experiences for you. Another big thing that was actually coming out of this controller reveal was the fact that there is a built-in microphone, which you can actually use to chat with your friends without the need of a headset. So this is pretty big. You know, I know a lot of people were saying, is there, initially when they were first unveiled it, is there a 3.5 millimeter jack? Are we still going to be able to use headphones? What's the deal? What if I don't want to use that microphone that's built in? Don't worry, there is a headphone jack, so you will be able to still use a headphone. So no worries there. The LED light bar from the PS4 controller, the DualShock 4, that is actually staying, but it's a little bit different now. Instead of being at the top of the touchpad, it's now going to actually border the whole thing. So the touchpad itself is outlined in the light bar, which looked pretty cool. There is still a rechargeable battery, and Sony does say that it will be, the controller itself will be a little bit lighter than the DualShock 4, despite its many additions. So ultimately, guys, I thought it looked really cool. I am very excited for the PlayStation 5, the Series X, and to be honest with you, it's crazy that something as seemingly minimal as a controller gets me that excited or really pumps me up that much, but it really did. So definitely look forward to it. So get out there and check out those designs online. So now let's pull out my notebook to see what I've been playing this last week in my Captain's Log. So guys, you'll know that last week was a little bit disappointing for me in the sense that I did not complete my goals as far as gaming within a few games. I did try out a few new ones that were unexpected, but this week for me, it was all about business. So I'll start with the first game that I focused on at the beginning of the week, and that'll be Doom Eternal. So if you've been following me, you know that I've been playing through this game. I didn't have as much free time last week to do what I wanted to do with it, but guess what? This past week, I was able to finally complete the game. So I beat the campaign, thoroughly enjoyed the game. I will be having a review coming out extremely soon for you guys. It's actually in the process of being completed right now as we speak. So I won't go into too many details about it other than the fact that I did thoroughly enjoy it. I thought it had a great story, and you'll have to check out the review for any other details coming hopefully within the next week or so. The other major release that I played this past week was I finally got my hands on Resident Evil 3. Now, a lot of you may not know this yet, but Resident Evil is one of my top franchises of all time. I mean, in the top five. Absolutely love this series. So, Resident Evil 3, I always enjoyed it, the original, back in the day. But, you know, it was never my favorite. But as much as Resident Evil 2 was amazing last year, I couldn't wait for the remake and to see what they did with the Nemesis and just the story, and couldn't wait. So bottom line is I got my hands on it, and believe it or not, I was actually able to complete it. I had 2 days where I was off of work. I had a lot of time on my hands. The wife was at work all day. So guess what? Over 2 play sessions, I was able to complete the game. It's actually very, very good. I did have an episode earlier that was kind of a hands-on of the demo. I spoke to some of the different details and differences between it and the Resident Evil 2 remake. You can check that out. Or, if you'd like, I will also be having a review of it coming out very soon. And overall, I mean, it was a phenomenal experience as a Resident Evil fan. There's just something about going back through those old school Resident Evil locations, Raccoon City, the underground labs. I don't know, just something really gets me in the feels when I'm playing, you know, those games. Resident Evil 2, now Resident Evil 3. So Capcom, if you're listening, I really, really sincerely hope that you guys move forward with a Code Veronica remake next. I would absolutely love it. And to be honest with you guys, the more I was thinking about it as I was finishing up Resident Evil 3, I really think they could actually do a Resident Evil, the original, as well as Resident Evil 0, do remakes of both of those as well. Because think about it, even though they were done on GameCube, the Resident Evil remake original on the GameCube, as well as Zero made for the GameCube, the fact remains to me that, hey, there was still some static pre-rendered environments on Zero and that remake of One. So if they completely redid them in the style that Resident Evil 2 remake and 3 remake were done, that could be pretty awesome. And guys, I'm just putting it out there. Next year, 2021, will be the official 25th anniversary year of the franchise of Resident Evil. So hint, hint, wink, wink, hopefully we'll see something special coming. All right, guys. So now that I've discussed my time with the game, let me give you some help on surviving the nemesis in Raccoon City with these buried treasure tips. So in Resident Evil 3, guys, always, always go handgun first. And the reason I say do this is to conserve ammo. And more powerful weapons like the shotgun, the grenade launcher, the Magnum once you get it. Obviously, you're always going to want to go for headshots. One confirmation shot to the head once a zombie's down is always recommended by me. So as long as you have handgun ammo, I would highly, highly recommend using nothing but the handgun and hold on to shotguns, grenades, everything else until you're in a situation where, say you come across the nemesis, say you come across hunters or, a pack of dogs or not just your basic zombies. Maybe there's a group of zombies. You want to throw a grenade in there. Bottom line is, as best as you can manage it, always start with the handgun first to conserve that more powerful ammo. And then once you do have a zombie who's fallen on the ground, don't just assume that they are dead. No. You have to give that confirmation shot because you don't want to be walking by, assuming they're dead, and then get grabbed, bit, and lose a chunk of health. Because that way that affects, obviously, your health items like your herbs and first aid sprays. You don't want to waste those either. You want to hang on to those as long as you possibly can. Speaking of healing items, only use them when you're in danger. There's fine, caution, and danger as far as the different levels of the severity of your damage that you've taken in the Resident Evil games. So only when you're flashing red in danger is my recommendation for using healing items. And the reason why you wait until then is because when you do come across, always combine herbs. When you have two herbs, you combine them. When you have a green and a red, always combine them. As best, again, as you can manage, never use individual herbs. I would recommend just holding on to them until you get into that danger mode and then using it to refill your full health. Because to me, it's a waste. If you do it when you're in caution and waste a singular herb, it's a waste of an herb, in my opinion. So first aid sprays, I would say use those as a last resort. If you don't have any herbs, then go to the first aid spray. As far as inventory management, in a Resident Evil game, inventory management is crucial and key. So only pick up items if you have two spots available in your inventory, or if you're using items right away that you're picking up to keep at least a spot free. So my recommendation, obviously you're going to be wanting to keep an eye out for those hip pouch upgrades. And as you continue to upgrade, obviously, it's amazing to be able to carry more items. But you always want to keep an eye on it and just make sure that you always have at least one or two spaces open so that you can always be able to pick up something. A lot of times there'll be actually, required items to progress that you need to access a new area that you're going to need that inventory slot open for. And you don't necessarily want to discard and waste healing items or ammo in order to open up a spot for it. So my recommendation is always to keep at least one or two spots open. Now, I will say the game does offer an item box, but if you're like me, I did it with the Resident Evil 2 remake as well as the 3 remake. A little extra added challenge for yourself. Try to play through the game without using the item box and see how good your item management skills are then. Definitely will teach you to not be as wasteful with the items that you pick up. In addition to this, the in-game map is actually really good. I didn't utilize it. To my knowledge, I don't remember using the Resident Evil 2 map as well as I used it in 3. So basically, use it to keep your bearings. A lot of times in these tight corridor areas, you can get kind of turned around easily, especially if you are trying to run from a zombie or an enemy. It's a very good help to keep your bearings and also to help you backtrack to any items that you couldn't pick up initially or chose not to pick up previously. Because once you discover items in the game, they will actually show up on your map. So if you're sitting there looking around like, ah, where was that ammo that I couldn't pick up earlier that I can now? Oh, okay, there it is on the map. It's in that hallway. I got to go back here through there. Boom. Awesome. So definitely make sure to keep that in-game map in constant use, because it'll help you out a lot. So hopefully these tips will give you listeners a better chance at surviving. Now, for my opinion on length determining a game's value on this week's Captain's Decree. All right, guys. So this week, my opinion piece is all about game length. So does it really matter? Does it actually indicate a game's value? So in my opinion, it can go both ways. If you have an experience that is a solid, 10 hours, maybe 8 to 10 hours, but it's just an amazingly solid experience from top to bottom, I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. I call back to mind, think about the first Uncharted game, the first God of War game. Both of those games, I beat them in less than 10 hours. So does that make them any less of an amazing experience that they were? No. Now, yes, each title in the series, for the most part, each one of them continue to get longer. So I get that as a franchise. But those games on an individual basis, do they have any less value? The fact that they're less than 10 hours long? I don't think so. I think in today's day and age, guys, a lot of times we've gotten so used to in the last probably decade or so of expecting these 50, 60, 100 plus hour experiences and thinking that that should be the rule and not the exception. Back in the day, it used to be a huge deal to read on the box 50 plus hours of gameplay. Now it's 100 plus hours of gameplay. I get it. Things are constantly improving or getting bigger, and the capabilities of consoles nowadays, you can do so much more and create bigger worlds and do so much more within those worlds. I get it. But I do still feel there's a place for a good, solid 10 hours, 8 to 10 hour experience. Now, when you try to quantify it monetarily, say for instance, Resident Evil 3, I spent roughly 10 hours in the game. From start to finish, played through it just like I play all my normal games. And in that 10-hour experience, I paid $60 for it. Now, for that 10-hour experience, was I disappointed? Or do I regret paying that $50, $60? Not at all. I thought it was an excellent experience. It was the top-tier graphics in the genre, in the industry, in my opinion. Amazing environments, gameplay, all tight. Everything is good. All the boxes are checked and done really well. A few opportunities here and there, sure. But overall, I felt that it was worth a $60 purchase. Not to mention, in that game specifically, you also get the resistance mode. So not only do you get a single player campaign, but you get the multiplayer aspect to it too. I understand not all single player games come with a multiplayer aspect that may be less than 10 hours, but it's something to look at as well. So can game length indicate the value of a game? Sure. Sometimes there are not great experiences that are less than 10 hours and you're kind of glad that you're done with it at that point. But at the end of the day, I really think it's based on the experience, and that just as beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so it can be said that value is also determined by the one giving the said value. So that'll do it for this week's episode of Captain's Quarters. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And as always, I would love to hear your thoughts on all of this week's topics. Contact me via email at lostatseagaming365@gmail.com. On social media, on Instagram at Lost at Sea Gaming, and on Twitter at Lost at Sea, GAMIN, the number one. And thank you guys for listening. And until the sea says otherwise, we'll keep sailing.